all began so long ago with a band of Queen's Park men.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Spiders Talk podcast. It's David Blair, Enzo Tamanini and Callum Stewart back again this week following the third draw in a row. This time it was a 0-0 against Raith Rovers at Hampden, where that's probably the first one of the three where you don't come away thinking, well, that's a missed opportunity, we probably should have got 3 points. I think given how that game played out, you'll take the point there and we'll move on. We'll be moving on to a much more important game at the bottom end of the table, because this Saturday it's a trip to Ayr United, taking on Scott Brown's team, who are a bit up and down in form themselves, but they are probably still now with us in the bottom half of the table. They'll be thinking they might be able to break away. We'll certainly hope to claw them back into this relegation dogfight. A couple of other things to talk about as well in between, some results for other teams and things like that, or other Queen's Park teams as well. We'll get all to that very, very shortly. Callum, again, we'll start with you, obviously joining us from Malawi. How are you doing this week? Have you been up to anything exciting?
Hi, all good. We ventured out of the long way this weekend, so we went up to Lake Malawi, so it's a landlocked country, so they've got a big lake in it, which is good. So we went up there, which was nice. Surprisingly familiar sort of scenery to Scotland. It was very green, very hilly on the way up there, so that was nice. I believe it won't stay like that for much longer, though, as we move into the dry season. But yeah, it's all good. And I've been keeping a cursory eye on the Silver Strikers results. It turns out, after my confusion a couple of weeks ago and on when their league actually started, they've just moved into pre-seasons at this point. So they seem to be doing all right. Interestingly, from what I could see, they actually played a pre-season game on the Saturday and then a second pre-season game on the Sunday. So very, very busy getting up to speed. But yes, aside from that, keeping up to date with all things Queen's Park. And you're right, David, what you said at the start there. I think a 0-0 against Raith is never, like this year anyway, going to objectively be a bad result. Just in the context of the previous two, it feels like if you had one win out of the Thistle and the Airdrie games, where we were much more on top and potentially looking for 3 points, then you'd sort of be reflecting back and thinking two draws and a win out of the last three games, that's pretty good, and it puts a very different spin on the table. So aye, not a bad result in isolation, but the wins have got to start coming.
Yeah, I mean, I worry that I'm overly pessimistic right now. Do you know that? Because I feel as though, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I am still exceptionally nervous about where we are and how things are looking around us. I realise Inverness are in really poor form, but they do have this, and I think they've got a poor team, to be honest with you, and I'm not in any way convinced by Duncan Ferguson as a manager, but they do have this weird habit of going on decent runs towards the right at the end of the season. They did it last year. I think they did it the year before that as well. That's obviously the last thing we need. They've got Dundee United this weekend, which is a massive one, and you'd like to think Dundee United will be desperate to get back to winning ways and hopefully pump them, because we could also do it potentially overtaking them when it comes to goal difference. I'm not sure how realistic that is at this stage. I'm totally fine with the Raith result, though. I think, like, ultimately, they did come... I think both teams... I don't know what the possession stat actually was, but I feel as though both teams probably had similar amounts of time on the ball. They just were a little bit more effective with it than what we were. But ultimately, they still couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. Cal Ferry, fantastic as usual. Some really, really good saves. But that, to me, that is a good point. Whereas, and I feel as though some people disagreed with this. I've spoken to Queens fans who don't share my view on this, but I don't think that going 2-0 up against Thistle and then losing two goals and coming away with only a point, I think for me that was a bad result. Doesn't seem like everybody agrees with me there, though. Airdrie won, not quite as bad as the Thistle one, but I'm still a bit disappointed that we came away from those two games with just 2 points. And as you say, Callum, if we'd won one of them and we've got 5 points from those three games, you say, fine, that's good, that puts us in a good position. But here we are getting into another really difficult game at a ground where we've struggled since getting promoted to the Championship. Against a team who are a bit hot and cold right now, but I am of the belief that this is a game that we... I'm not going to say it's must win, however, I am going to be very, very concerned if we don't and other results don't go in our favour.
Yeah, I think, especially as Calum, you said, it's the context of it, and I know you touched on that again there, Enzo. It's this run of the three draws, and we're not yet at must win, 7-8 cup finals left, whatever it is. We're not quite in that cliche territory, but I think we're maybe about a week or two away from it. So, yeah, if we had a couple of extra points on the board, certainly from this most recent run where we have looked good, and yeah, we can now look back at the Thistle game especially and go that, I do agree with you 100%. Now that was 2 points dropped on the day, but yeah, as I say, we're getting very close to the danger end of the season, and we're at the danger end of the table, which does not help at all. Let's have a quick look at what happened at the Raith Rovers game. Obviously, it was a 0-0. There's probably only a few talking points, really, of note from the game. I mean, in terms of the 90 minutes in general, Enzo, it was a little bit weird, because although we're sitting saying it's probably a good point, and especially when you look back at the game, if you were looking at the stats, you know, the shots on goal and things like that, you know, Raith dominated that, but there were most of their kind of threats and most of their danger came in sort of two sort of separate 15-minute spells. They had one sort of in the beginning of the first half where it felt like they had about 15 corners in a row at one point.
Yeah.
And then later on in the second half where they were putting pressure on, they did create a lot of chances. Callum Ferry, as you say, had a couple of great saves. One in particular is an absolute belter from the like the kind of half overhead kick from, was it Stanton, I think?
An
absolutely fantastic save there. But outside of that, they didn't really do an awful lot to threaten us or to cause problems for us. But then, yeah, likewise, as you say, when we were going forward, and Callum Davison mentioned it in his post-match interview as well, it just felt like we were not making the right decisions. We just weren't using the ball sort of properly. We really didn't have much at all. I think Dubrovsky had one really good save again, to be fair, to make from, was it Sean Welsh? I think that one. Sean Welsh, I think, had the header late on also. But yeah, as I say, what do you make of the game? How it sort of ebbed and flowed on?
Yeah, I mean, I think Raith started out the first half as the better team, and we probably grew into it a little bit more the closer it got to half time. And it was a very kind of cagey. It was quite a cagey game because you felt as though either team probably could break through and get something. And we soaked up a lot of pressure at times. There were times where I was concerned that we probably were going to let them through and something was going to happen. And fortunately, you know, we have the defenders now to deal with being under pressure from so many corners, for example, something that we struggled so badly with for the first half of the season, I suppose, probably even a bit more than that. And I think we struggled badly with that actually last season too. But this season it's been absolutely wild. So it's good to see that we can deal with that. It's good to see that we can deal with that. I feel as though we've been a little bit unfortunate recently in that the games where, and I think the Raith game was similar, the games where we have looked really creative, a both game aside, obviously, the games where we've looked really creative, really strong going forward are the same games where we've maybe not defended quite as well. And then you've got the Raith game, which is kind of the polar opposite of that, where we did defend really well, but we also struggled to do too much up the other end of the park. And I think ultimately, you know, I think a draw was probably just about a fair result. Although if I were a Raith fan, I'd probably be coming away slightly disappointed, not at drawing with us, because I think they probably accept that we have become much better, much harder to beat at this stage. But I think I might be thinking, oh, you know, if that Stanton chance had gone in, or, you know, if maybe the ball dropped in our favour one or two more times in the Queen's Park box, then maybe we could have gotten something. But overall, I don't think either side can have too many complaints. And as I say, I think that is a good point compared to some of the previous draws that we've had.
Yeah. I was actually quite surprised when I was reading through the comments from Raith fans on Pine Bovril. They were almost complimentary towards us, which is a bit of a contrast considering how we've been in some games previously this season. And I think that's, again, full credit to Davidson. I mean, take this result in isolation, but you reflect back on the game since he's came in. He does have, he is managing to set this team up against teams who at this point in time are better than us. If we think to Raith and I guess the Morton when they were on that fantastic run of form as well. And those two 0-0s are really, really good 0-0s. Like the point gained type territory. And even if you have a wee look at our sort of goal difference, and Davidson came in, I think I did a quick tally, but it was like 17 scored, 9 against, which I mean, we all know that was swayed wildly, wildly in the, yeah. But if you compare that even to the rest of the season, I mean, obviously we were on a massive, massive deficit. So he's clawing that back, which is good. And yeah, I kind of, from what I've seen in the highlights and from what you have told me and reading up on the comments in the game, it obviously Wraith are going to have pressure, right? They have that against every single team that they play against. They're going to have those spells where they just attack in waves, and it seems quite difficult. But from the highlights, I mean, you've got one really good save from Ferry, which I think I would still be wanting them to make. It is a fantastic save, but I'd still be sort of wanting them to make that save. And then you've obviously got the one from the sort of weird overhead kick thing, which was a fantastic save. But aside from that, there wasn't too much where I was like, oh, that looks like they should have been scoring 4 or 5 goals. And we did have a really, really good chance with Welsh as well when the ball dropped to him from a corner. So there was definitely goals in that game. And coming away from a 0-0 is not too bad. And the thing that I quite like is that despite the sort of fluctuation in the results, I mean, in the last 6, we've obviously only had the 1-1 versus Arbroath, 1 loss versus Dundee United, which you're never going to get too upset about, really, and then the 4 draws. But I still feel like the performances are okay. Like, see, even when we manage to look all right for spells, or we might be drawing a game under Veldman, you always still felt like the core of the team just wasn't up to it. Whereas I just don't feel like that is the case. So I'm still hopeful that we can go in and get a result against Ayr. But yeah, we'll get to that.
No, I mean, I couldn't agree more, by the way. Like, any kind of concern or negativity that I may be feeling is in no way directed at the players or at Callum Davidson, because they've stepped up big time. The players have stepped up big time, and Davidson has clearly had a huge, huge impact on what they're able to achieve on the park. It's totally, you can't debate that. And I'm really, really excited to see what that's going to look like going forward, especially. I think we're still obviously suffering from the fact that we had that spell of 4.5 months under a manager that maybe didn't really know what he was doing, and a squad that was significantly weaker. And it's funny, because when I say significantly weaker, it's not as though Davids has brought 15 guys in. He's just brought in the right guys of the right quality with the right experience in the right place. He's looked at the team and saw what all of us saw for the first however many months of the season, and he's fixed that. And I'm sure, you know, he knows what he'd like to improve on again for next season. I think we're just, as I say, we're still in a very dangerous position, not because recent form has been bad, but just because it's a hell of a lot to claw back. Like, we were bottom of the league. We didn't win for 4.5 months. And I think I think it's still kind of concerningly tight, and that's why I think one or two of these draws going in our favour would have put up. I would certainly be feeling a hell of a lot more comfortable than what I am right now. I'm not going to lie. I'm very, very nervous about things. That doesn't mean that I'm not confident that the team can do it. I just have this. I have this vision, a nightmare, I suppose, almost, of it going down to the last game of the season against Airdrie, a team that we don't have the best record against, and I'd really like to avoid that.
Aye, that's just that's decades of like PTSD from every Queen's team that we've had to go through over the years, doesn't it? I think you kind of get conditioned to think the worst in these things, which is fair enough. But aye, I mean, there was a bit of chat on Pine Bovril about like points per game and stuff like that under Davidson, and I think it was like 1.6 points per game, and if you took that out over the course of the season, would be third right now. So I'm still confident that you can pull us out. I mean, I would also just like Inverness to capitulate between that and their battery farm. They're on a potentially shuggly peg over the if they get relegated this season. But yes, lots of football still to play, thankfully.
Yeah, they're definitely are capitulating on and off the park, Inverness, aren't they? In terms of the squad front, you mentioned it there, Enzo, obviously, as well, again, on Pine Bovril stuff, there was a fair few comments about the substitutes that were made in the game.
And yeah.
Again, you go back to the previous regime, and there was a lot of noise every single week about substitutes and the good, or let's be honest, more often bad impact or negative impact that they may have had on games at certain times. What did you make of the substitutes that Davidson then made on Saturday? Because I was, now apparently Josh Scott did come off and he seemed to be limping slightly. I didn't notice that at the time. I was just really annoyed that he was coming off because I thought he was having a good game. But especially that substitution where Sheridan and Scott came off. To me on the day, it felt like it completely nullified our attacking threat because Scott was getting up and down that left wing and Kelly and Sheridan, I mean, we are very quickly becoming unbelievably reliant on him to create things up front. We spoke about it the last, three or four weeks, where he's been coming in and just his build-up, his involvement in the build-up play is, and you know, absolutely incredible. And I just, again, felt on Saturday when he came off, I was like, oh God, that's it. We don't have anybody to knock the ball up high to and to hold it up and things. Mitchell McKintry is not the same player as Sheridan in that regard. He's not going to be able to do that. Payton doesn't really do that either. He's obviously much more to run onto the ball and things like that. And again, you've seen that with McLeish coming on later on also. And then later on as well, you had Jack Turner coming on in place of Bannon, kind of moved a couple of the players about. Thompson went back into defence. But what did you make of the substitutes that were made? And did you think they were the right decision to make, or what do you think of those on the day?
So I don't know whether they were the right decision to make or not, because I'm not entirely sure what the thought process was behind it. Obviously Davidson's talking to the guys, and you know, in terms of Josh Scott, maybe I'm hoping it's just a wee knock and he didn't feel as though he could carry on. I'm actually really, really concerned about him, because I didn't notice it at the time either, but obviously people were talking about it afterwards. And I don't think we can really afford to lose him. I think he's been massive since he came in. And I think that would be really, really problematic at this stage of the season. So fingers crossed he's okay. But the substitutions clearly did significantly weaken us on the left-hand side of the park. And that comes down to, I guess, the lack of depth that we do have at this stage. And again, that's just because of the way that the squad was built in the summer. You know, there's only so much a manager can do in the January transfer window. And I think the work that Davidson's done to get these guys in has been incredible. And I noticed it too. I noticed how much we struggled trying to create things when Sheridan came off. And I also noticed that because of that, Rory Payton was starting to float out wide again from time to time, something that he hasn't really been doing when he's had that support from Sheridan. And I don't know, because obviously you can't rely on these guys for such a... You can't rely on your starting 11 every single week for 90 minutes. It's just unrealistic. You are going to get injuries. Guys are going to get tired. And sometimes you do feel as though you need to change up that shape a wee bit. The one substitution, however, and I thought he was really poor, by the way, it was one of his worst games in a long time. The one substitution, however, that I'm always going to question is taking Dom Thomas off, because even if he is having a poor game, you know that he is capable of a moment of magic that can win you any fixture. And I always kind of second guess that change whenever it's made. But as I say, he was really poor on Saturday, and I'm assuming that's entirely what that decision was based on.
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to get these games from Dom Thomas. I mean, it's why he's not in the top league, really, isn't it? More than
yeah,
anything,
exactly.
Because we all know that the ability is there. But I agree with you. I'm always loath, but mostly that is because we I don't think we do have anyone else that can come on and have that sort of impact that he does. I mean, here's one for you, right? So McKinstry for me has struggled since he joined us. He's not done it, and I thought, seeing the few fleeting appearances that we've seen in Mackenzie Carse, I thought he looked all right, but he does not get a look in at all. I kind of thought that he might be the sort of guy that would be good to come on in the last 15, 20 minutes of games, because he was tons and tons of pace, clearly, and he looked pretty nifty. I think he did get a goal, didn't he, when he was at Hampden?
Was it against Dunfermline, was it not?
Yeah. Aye. So I'm kind of surprised that he's not had any involvement in it. But, I mean... It shouldn't be a massive surprise to us at this point that we've not got massive depth, because essentially the guys who are dropping out a lot of the time were the ones who weren't just cutting it for the starting 11 previously. And again, when you look at teams like Wraith, they're bringing in guys like Hamilton, Smith, and yeah, they've just got a lot more players who I think are established at this level that you know can perform, which we're lacking, which is Yeah, I mean, it's to be expected off the back of the way that the team was set up this season, but I'd still personally, I wouldn't mind seeing a wee bit more of Karst, because I agree with what you're saying, like the guys who are coming on, it's not having as massive an impact as you'd hope.
And I mean, what do you do with Stuart McKinstry at this stage? What do you do? Do you just leave him on the bench and pretend that we signed him? Because I really don't think he has come off the bench and really positively contributed much at all. Their growth game doesn't really count, to be honest with you, because they were such a shambles. And in the tougher games, has he ever actually stepped up at this stage? I mean, he's been really disappointing, hasn't he?
Yeah. In a word, yes. Again, he's not going to be held in the same regard or held to quite as high a level as Dom Thomas, but Stuart McKinstry has that pedigree in the past. I mean, we've seen it was what, 12 months, 18 months ago. He was an excellent player in the top flight in Scotland. So he's shown that he can be a good player at a higher level than we are currently playing at. But this season, just for whatever reason, I mean, obviously he joined the team late anyway. He joined, what was it, the beginning of October, but it took him about 6 weeks still to get match fit and to actually play for the first team and towards the end of November. But yeah, since then he's had the one assist up at Dunfermline. He did score against our growth.
Give him credit where it's due, it was a good assist.
Absolutely, yeah, but he's had that one assist. He's had that goal against Arbroath, which is UC Enzo. You can maybe take the opposition into account for that game. Aside from that, he just has not really done much, if anything, on the part for Queen's Park, unfortunately. And actually, as soon as I think of what Stuart McKinstry's done for Queen's Park, I actually go back to his debut where he started against Partick Thistle in the Cup in November. And I thought he had an absolutely atrocious debut. And
yeah,
that really has stuck with me ever since. And he's not done enough to get away from that. So, yeah, he is one where if he's coming on off the bench or if he's starting, it's just big question marks straight away. And maybe he will, and I really hope he does. Maybe he does turn it on in the next 7 weeks and scores three or four goals, sets up a few or whatever, and is the driving force behind Queen's Park staying in the Championship, which... In that case, maybe I will hold him in the same regard as Dom Thomas, but until that happens, right now, he has been, and it's a big one that we'll have to discuss at the end of the season, but he's been one of the biggest disappointments of the season.
It's a really odd one with him, though, isn't it? Because, like, he's clearly, as you said, he's proven that he can play in the top level of Scotland, right? And he's clearly went off the boil. And I'm trying to almost think of excuses for him. Like when I reflect back on Simon Murray when he joined us, obviously when he had a long rehabilitation period, and we never really seen the best of him until last season, I would say. But with McKinstry, it's strange because like guys like Jason Naismith, who I'm not in any way comparing them as similar players, but guys who have played at a higher level and came down, typically it's like older players who are maybe at the near the end of their career and you're taking a wee bit of a chance on them, that sort of thing. But McKinstry's still a really, really young guy. It just seems like quite an odd and short peak for him to go from looking like a really, really excellent prospect who can do much bigger things than Scottish football to suddenly struggling at a team in the Championship. So, I don't know. I would love it. Absolutely love it if he proved us wrong and turned out to be absolutely fantastic for the last period of the season. But yeah, you can't help but be wanting more, I think, from what we've seen so far.
Kind of hopeful. I don't, this is a bit of a strange thing to say, to say that I hope a guy's injured, but I'm hoping that a big factor in how badly he's struggled is that maybe he is still nursing a bit of a... of an injury, given the way his season started so slowly for us, and the fact that he didn't get picked up by a club until the time he did, and that would maybe, I suppose, explain it. But yeah, it's not been going that well for him.
No, it has not, and we'll see. We'll have another wee talk about the squad shortly as well with some of the and our news roundup, but. Yeah, just in terms of substitutes that are made, I think you're right. I think it's just a hangover from the summer transfer window, isn't it, in the beginning of the season, because there's there is only so much that can be done by a manager coming in, even partway through January, because remember, he missed out the first, week or 10 days or so of the January window not being at Queen's Park. So Callum Davies has done a tremendous job coming in and finding the guys that he has so far. But yeah, we've still got a little bit of a way to go in terms of the squad, but we've got to deal with it until the end of the season at least. I really don't have much else to talk about in the Wraith game. What I did, obviously, we've already mentioned Callum Ferry with some excellent saves so far. That saved us a point, especially that overhead kick from Stanton, which was relatively late on into the game. And there was that other save as well, I can't recall who it was from, but it was like down like at his left-hand post, and it was a shot that was hit really like with some venom, and he got a hand to it, and thankfully never parried it in anybody else's path, but it went right across goal as well. Thankfully that ball went out, and you can class that as a good save. But Callum Ferry really saved us a point. And I tell you what we do have to say as well is, last week we were complaining about the ref. This week, got to say fair play to Kevin Clancy, who was the referee this week. And not only did I think just in general that the game was pretty decent, like there wasn't any nonsense stoppages or we got a couple of yellow cards. I think Wraith got one or two as well. I mean, pretty normal, no complaints there at all. And he gets special credit for not falling for any of Wraith's antics, which is not the first time that they've tried that against us this season, and I'm sure they've been doing it to everybody else as well, because as they were getting more and more desperate, as the game still remained 0-0, there was dives here, there and everywhere. Zach Rudden had a good one. Thankfully as well, shout out to the Queen's Park Highlights package, because thankfully includes a few of them in there that we can make fun of also. You had Zach Rudden going down under, I'm fairly certain there was literally zero contact. I think the leg went through, like a toe was poked in between his legs and he fell over. Thankfully it was the ref gave it for a foul against him in the build-up just before that. And there was a couple of good old dives from our favourite Dylan Easton as well, who, quite frankly, actually ends on the day. I'm surprised he never got the book for either one of those two, because they were terrible.
No, I know, but I feel as though, as you say, the referee had let a lot. Do you know what? Other than him chucking himself to the ground fairly regularly, something that we all know to expect from Easton whenever you come up against them, I don't think, I agree with you, by the way, the referee deserves credit for letting the game flow, but it wasn't a particularly physical game, do you know what I mean? There wasn't a whole lot going on, and to be honest with you, the teams didn't give him many decisions to make, other than possibly whether to do something about that dive, or those dives, I should say, because it wasn't just one of them. He should have done. He should have been booked, but let's be honest, it's something that players get away with all too often.
I don't even think that was the worst one out of the three, because you had the Rudden one, you had the Easton one, and then there was the one from Murray, who was playing at like centre-back for them. It was absolutely ridiculous. Like, I actually slowed it down when I was watching the highlights of it, and genuinely nobody touches him. He throws himself to the ground, the classic like leg sweep between you motion, and then he's just flailing his arms about. I mean, I sound like a pure old man, but I was like, mind the days when they used to actually book people for diving. Because if the ref isn't given a penalty for that, then how is it not a yellow card? Like, it can't. Yeah. There's no middle ground for them.
Do you think Ian Murray tells him to go out and do that, or do you think he just takes it upon himself to
100%. 100%. It's every single time that you play Wraith, though, isn't it? Like, it's embedded in the team. Because
I thought they were usually even worse, I would think, at the game at Starks Park where we beat them 2-1 in whatever month that was.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Day they were an absolute desperate disgrace.
Aye. They were.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, I do think a part of it would just be Dylan Easton himself. But, you know, as you both say, given that it seems to be endemic through that entire team, it must be, oh, hang on, if we get to 70 minutes and there's no goal, go and start trying to win penalty. I mean, it's just so, it's pathetic, isn't it? But I suppose it's got them where they are this season. I wouldn't be against Queen's Park trying to do something like that, because again, we've been talking, these refereeing decisions, they have to balance out at some point. Again, not so much for anything that happened on Saturday against Wraith, but just in general, it was a conversation that we were having during the game, and it's like, where are these refereeing decisions ever going to balance out for us? It feels like we've yet to have that one where you kind of turn to each other and go, we did not deserve that. I'm waiting for that moment, and it's not happened yet this season, has it?
No. So hopefully, if any referees are listening to this and happen to get picked for one of our fixtures, just give us a wee hand, do us a favour, would you? Because we really could use it at this stage of the season.
I will take any favours we can get. That'll pretty much do. 0-0 against Wraith. As I say, there's really not much else to say. Enzo picking our man of the match. There were a couple of all right performances on the part, but I think it's going to be a pretty easy choice, isn't it?
Kyle Ferry.
Yep, that overhead kick save was an absolute belter, and they had a couple others during the game which made sure that we did not lose on the day. So yeah, it has to be our man of the match is Callum Ferry. So will we have a quick look at the league table? Let's have a quick look. Very quick look. So that point, I suppose we've. I mean, how would you look at that? We've done Dundee United a favour there with them losing in incredibly embarrassing fashion on Friday night on the telly. Can you get BBC Scotland there, Calum? I don't even know if you can get it. But I don't know if you got the chance to watch it, Enzo. But Dundee United were utterly tragic on Friday night against Dunfermline. I don't understand how they don't show up like that when they're playing us, but they lost 3-1 on the day, so that now leaves it both of those teams, Dundee United and Wraith Rovers, 58 points each at the top of the table. Obviously, Dundee United's goal difference is substantial, so they get that extra point in air quotes there. You then have Partick Thistle on 43 points, Airdrie jumping up into fourth place on 39 points, because Morton's collapse is now well and truly underway with 3 defeats in a row in the league. They are now 5th place on 37 points. Dunfermline and Ayr both on 35. Then ourselves on 33. Inverness 31. And Arbroath still cut adrift, and surely it's a matter of time, on 23 points. So yeah, still horrifically close, and with, let's say, ourselves 2 points behind Ayr, this Saturday is absolutely massive. We'll come back to that game. Oh, sorry, are you going to?
No, I was just going to say the league table is just it's horrible to look at right now, and I was very disappointed. Don't get me wrong, I was very, very disappointed that Dunfermline picked that up, but they seem as though they might have really turned a corner right now, which isn't great timing for us. There's still obviously plenty of games left for them to go on another bad run though. So who knows? You can't predict anything at this stage. It's just who knows what's going to happen.
Right, two or three losses for any team right now, and it's looking a bit sort of like a catastrophe, isn't it? Yeah, I'm still hopeful though that we've got a better run in than most teams. I feel like when we looked a couple of episodes ago, when we were sort of looking at the fixtures, this first run was the bad bit in comparison. Well, I mean, all games in this league are a bit ridiculous in some respects, aren't they? But on paper anyway, I'm hoping that we've got a better run in, because I think Inverness, have they not got a bit of a honking last few games against like the top end of the table?
I hope so.
they have a look and see exactly what that is. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, our last 4 games, it's Inverness, Dunfermline, Arbroath and Airdrie, who, yeah, I know Airdrie have jumped up into fourth place, but teams that are still within reach of us, and that were, you know, 2 of them there that were desperate to keep behind us. So yeah, it's potentially favourable at that point there, but we'll have to wait and see how that, of course, does unfold. Start our news roundup. Let's look at the other Queen's Park teams' results from over the weekend. On Saturday morning, you had the supporters team taking on Hearts in the in our league Scottish Cup. It was a 4-2 win for the Queen's Park boys. So we've got one more game left in the cup. So there's two groups in the cup to begin with, and then it's obviously the two winners will go into the semi-finals, and the two losers will just stay at home. So we are up against Motherwell in our next cup game, and the winner of that will win the group and take the top seed from our group there. So they are one of the best teams in the Scottish League, so it will not be easy by any stretch, but we have done well against them so far this season, so fingers crossed we can do that and get a good wee cup run there. On Sunday, you had Queen's Park Women maintaining their charge to the SWPL2 title with a 2-1 victory over Boroughmuir Thistle. Boroughmuir scored late on to set up a bit of a potentially nervous finish, but the goals from Ellie Kane and Emma Craig were enough for Queen's Park to get the 3 points, and that keeps that 13-point lead at the top of the table, which is beginning to look insurmountable. I believe there's only 7 games to go now, because the SWPL, they tweeted the league table and said that's the end of the third round of fixtures. So I'm assuming, you know, eight teams in the league, there'll be 7 more games to go. So as I say, with that, surely it's time to, Andrew, I know you are oh, you need to wait, you never know mathematically. But surely it's now time to get the calculator out.
Well, I was the other day, but the problem is I'm rubbish at maths, so I struggle to figure out when we're potentially looking at in terms of clinching the title, because it's obviously dependent on other teams' results. Again, there's no guarantees with 7 games left, put it that way. And when I say there's no guarantees, I mean there's no guarantees of when it's going to happen. But for me, at this point in time, it is now a case of when, not if. It's going to happen. They're going to win the title. We just need to. Yeah, I was trying to figure out, and I'm sure somebody out there will know when that is most likely to happen at this stage. So if you do, please let us know, because we're trying to work that out ourselves. But yeah, it's a matter of time. Another good result away from home. The final stretch here now, and I don't see them taking their foot off the gas anytime soon.
What is interesting, though, when you look at the fixtures on the website on queensparkfc.co.uk, it actually has their next game, which is a home game up against Gart Cairn. It is actually showing as the City Stadium or Leicester Hampton to you and I, whereas the rest of the home games are showing New Tintel Park. So I wonder if, I mean, that game is going to be too early for that, but I wonder if that will be there, because obviously they were meant to play there, weren't they? In the cup, was that last month? That's right. It was obviously called off due to the weather, so maybe that's them getting a chance to play at the City Stadium. See, that would be March 31st if that does indeed go ahead. So we'll need to keep an eye out and see if they're going to get their chance there. And you would hope that, as we've just said, with it looking inevitable for them lifting the title, that they can maybe see out the season at Leicester Hampden and, you know, get some fans in and get the chance that whenever that game is, you know, when that title is confirmed, they'll get the chance to do that with the fans that have been attending the games. I know that there's been a lot of the community teams going as well. It'd be great to get them to do that actually at home at Hampden, wouldn't it? Or Leicester Hampden, of course. The Hampden campus, not heard that phrase in a wee while. So be good to get them there. So another great result for them. And as you say, they're continuing that fantastic charge to the title. Where we think there may also be another title is actually, if you want to call it that, is with the Queen's Park B, with the reserve team. So today, on Tuesday, they have beat Livingston 2-1. Liam McLeish scored the first goal, and going by the Twitter updates, it was either McLeish, Fairley, or it was an own goal for the second one. There seems to be a wee bit of confusion. I don't know if there'll be sometimes they post the GoPro from behind the goal, so maybe we'll get a chance to see what's caused that confusion there. But what that leaves the reserve league table looking is Queen's Park have an 8-point lead over, let's see here, Kilmarnock, Hibs, Dundee, Queen of the South and Ayr, who are all tied on 10 points. Queen's Park are on 18 points. There are some games in hand and things, but I think every team is going to play 8 games there. So Queen's Park have one more game to play, but you've got Hibs and Dundee potentially have 3. So if Queen's Park draw their next game, or if they win it, they will 100% win the Reserves League. If they draw it, maybe have to see our results go elsewhere, but it's very difficult to judge this. We were trying to look at this before we started recording. It's not the easiest, not that many people care about it, maybe that's why, but it's not the easiest to find information on there.
No, I, again, couldn't figure it out, but not because of my own lack of ability to count. It was actually because, as you say, it doesn't seem to be particularly well documented on the SPFL website, so I'm not sure. And again, it's not... To be fair, right, the Reserve League isn't really something you put too much stock in when it comes to winning league titles or anything like that. It's all about development and giving guys the opportunity to play against, I would imagine in the case of most clubs, you're going to be playing against, you know, seasoned professionals who are maybe just on the fringes combined with young guys, whereas our reserve team is primarily very young players. So it's a brilliant opportunity for them. And if they're going out there and getting the results as well, then that's fantastic. And I've listened to a few of the kind of post-match interviews this season with the players and the manager, and it does sound as though they're taking it seriously, so they'll definitely be wanting to lock that up.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Obviously the Reserve League isn't something that you actually care about winning or whatever, but it is a useful indicator, isn't it? Because I mean, for ourselves, we're meant to be bringing through younger guys, etc. That's the whole model, but so you do want to see them doing well, and if they can, or if they have secured that, or if they can, then excellent.
Yeah, well, again, we'll wait and see when the next game is there and what that'll mean for that wee league title. It's certainly not the most important one in the world, but as you both say, you know, it's good experience for these younger players that are playing, and it'd be something nice to have at the end of the season. It would be a title of sorts, I suppose, but who knows. Last thing to really talk about was I posted it on Twitter yesterday, actually. So obviously the club do the week ahead preview of, you know, things to keep an eye on in and around the club and everything there. You don't always click on it because you don't tend to think that there's too much to it, but on this week's one, it did actually suggest that there were going to be two contract extensions announced at some point this week. Now, there are no clues this time around. When they did it a few weeks ago, and it was Callum Ferry, they dropped the little, what was that again? It was like something like a very, but it was obviously spelt as in the surname, good extension or whatever it was, something like that. So we got a little bit of a hint there, but this time, nothing at all. It was new contract one and new contract two, so we are going to hope that it's players, because of course I'm sure Callum Davis and I'm sure those in charge at the club are going to be looking ahead to next season already and getting potentially any players that are due to come out, you know, due to have their contracts expired or maybe have a little bit of interest around them, maybe want to secure them down again. So, Callum, did you not have a little list of the kind of players that you, did you have a look and see who you thought was maybe out of contract this season, and we can maybe have a wee look at who we think or who we're looking at to extend, or certainly as a matter of priority?
Yeah, I mean, I would take credit for this, but it was definitely the Oracle, i.e. my brother, that put together the list. So, but anyway, out of contract, he had Savory, Jarrett, Robson, Longridge, Scott, Bruce, McKinstry, and Sheridan. So I've not verified that. I'm assuming it's probably relatively
right.
Right
to
but
me.
I mean, yeah, I mean, for me, if I'm picking two from that list, it's a pretty clear choice that I'm picking Savory, because we all know how good he can be. And I think I'm also picking Scott, which might be a wee bit controversial because obviously Sheridan's had an excellent start here with us. But I do want to see that span out over a period of time. I know it's been a really, really good start for him, which is fantastic. But I want to see that over the course of like a good chunk of a season, because he's not demonstrated it so far at many clubs that he can maintain any sort of form. So I think I'd be going for Savory and Scott, because Scott in particular has really impressed me since he joined.
I think I agree with that. But that's obviously assuming we're only looking at players that are out of contract. I mean, it could potentially be an extension to a player who's already under contract for next season. That's not impossible.
Jack Thompson, please.
Jack Thompson, yep. Dom Thomas, maybe Rory Payton signing a 15-year contract rather than expiring. When is it expires currently? 2026, I think it is.
Yeah, I think at the end of 2025-6 season, yeah.
But I think given that wee hint that we had from Davidson in one of his interviews last week or the week before, where he said obviously Savory should be back for pre-season, that kind of suggests to me that he will be hanging around. And as I said at the time, I really hope that if we are extending his contract, it's for more than one season, because if he comes back and does what he's capable of doing, then there are going to be other clubs sniffing about him again, and we really don't want him to go for nothing. So fingers crossed. And Scott, I think he's looked really good when he comes in. Since he came in, he gets stuck in. He's really not afraid of anything. He creates things going forward. He likes to drive with the ball. He's physical. Likes a yellow card, maybe a wee bit too much. And I suspect at some point he'll find himself getting suspended for that. Probably not this season, but next season with a full season anyway. Maybe that's something that Davidson can kind of coach out of him. Who knows? But I would like to see him. Well, the thing is, I'm looking at that list and there's more than that. I probably would like to see Sheridan stay as well. Let's obviously see how he goes over the next few weeks, over the kind of remainder of the season. But I think realistically, unless I suppose Davidson thinks he has a younger version of him lined up somewhere, I wouldn't be opposed to giving him maybe another year. Robson, I think his time's possibly up. Do you know that? I think his time is his time at the club might be numbered. I just think he's. I feel as though, even though he has improved, dropping back to that kind of left central defence position, I feel as though Davidson's probably going to feel as though he can do better. Maybe he will get an extension as a kind of as a bench player. I don't know. Longridge seems to get extensions every single year, so who knows? He might still be back, but we really, it wouldn't shock me. Bruce, a young player who I feel as though he's made up his own mind, because we were extending so many of the young guys that came through the youth academy not that long ago, and Bruce wasn't among them. I feel as though he's possibly already made the decision that he's going to be moving on from the club. Fortunately, in that case, you know, we will still be entitled to the development money. McKinstry, I mean, he's not done enough for me to merit it, unless, I suppose, as I said earlier on, he has been carrying a knock, and Davidson thinks with a full pre-season behind him, we can get more out of him. But yeah, I think my two preferences would also be, that's a long way for me to essentially circle back and say I agree with you, Callum. My preferences would be saving at this point.
Yeah, I honestly, I think so as well. I don't know if I'd be arguing for Sheridan over any of those two, to be perfectly honest. I think Savory, we know, is a talent, and obviously having been out for so long, we want to give him the chance to get back. And I think he'll want the chance to get back with a club that knows what he can do as well, because he could leave and he could go, I mean, he could go who knows where, but cut off the back of, you know, being out for a whole year, a whole season. If he goes to a new environment, they're maybe not going to be entirely familiar with him or not know exactly what he's capable of. Here we are. So you would hope that that would work to his advantage and it would be worth him staying. And then I agree with you, Enzo. If he is staying, it needs to be for more than just 1 year, because you can't then have him. You can't have him get back to as good as he was last season under Owen Coyle, and then that he disappears for free at the end of the year. So yeah, if he's signing, it has to be multi-year. Josh Scott, I'm a massive fan of his. I think we all are. I would really like to see him extended as soon as possible. I'm actually disappointed that, because it was during the game as well, we were all talking to each other and we were like, hang on, is he actually, was it just 6 months or was it an 18-month contract or whatever? It seems like it may well have just been until the end of this season.
It definitely
is. Yeah, so if that is the case, getting him extended has to be an absolute priority, because he's came in not only as, well, obviously Robson and Bruce had both been playing left wing back or left back this season. Scott's came in and within 2 months has overtaken the two of them. And Tommy Robson's now playing out of position at centre half, and Cammy Bruce is now having to come off the bench because of the impact that Scott's had. He's been absolutely excellent, so I think he needs to be extended as well. If it is going to be, you know, brand, not just extensions on top of people already under contract, as you maybe suggested as well, it has to be the two of them. Sheridan would be a very close third for me. You ran through the list there, Enzo. I think I kind of agree with the rest of your summaries. You didn't actually mention Paddy Jarrett.
Oh, Paddy Jarrett.
It's not going to be him. I think the fact that you never mentioned him says it all. He seems to have dropped completely off the face of the earth. He was all right last season. He had some good moments, but he seemed to always be a bit of a bench option, a bit of a depth option, and this season he just has not been involved at all, really, has he? So there would be absolutely no surprise if/when he moves on from Queen's Park. But yeah, I think I agree with your summary there, Enzo, of all those players that are out of contract.
Yeah, we'll see. Again, I wouldn't totally be against it being maybe an extension to one of our better players, just to tie them down for even longer. But hopefully, maybe even by the time people are listening to this, we'll already have had one of those announcements.
That's usually the way it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We were holding off doing this on Tuesday. We were hoping that one of them would have been announced at the beginning of this week. So you can almost guarantee that both of them will be announced Wednesday 9 a.m. and that'll be that sort of everything that we've just said will be utter nonsense. But there we go. And if it is, just to echo as well, if it is going to be somebody that's already under contract, Jack Thompson, number one, has to be. Brilliant. I don't know. I don't know everybody else's contract position. We're not going through all that yet. But we'll leave that there for now. We'll wait and see this week when those are announced and who it is that's going to stay at Queen's Park for a little bit longer. But that will do the news roundup. Let's look ahead to Ayr United. I say a trip to Somerset Park. Enzo, you absolutely hate Somerset Park. I love the old ground. I will say I'm gutted. I am going to miss it this week, and I'm a little bit annoyed at that. But sometimes, unfortunately, life gets in the way of football. I know it shouldn't be that, but unfortunately, it does. So I'm not going to make the trip, unfortunately. But yeah, Enzo, you're not. Yeah, I think we've done this every time we go to Ayr United, but you're still not a massive fan?
No, there's nothing to like about it. And I realise that is a controversial take, but the reason for that is because we don't actually get to stand in the terrace. You can either sit in that wee stand that's fallen apart, or you can stand at the wee bit at the front, which isn't a real terrace. It's totally uncovered. It's not a great view. It's not a good experience. And I think people are just kidding on that they enjoy going there. There's nothing good about it. I just don't understand it. I remember back in the day, and I'm obviously going back maybe to the 2007, 2008 season when we played there away. They did put us behind the goal, and that was a totally different experience. But where we go now, it's not a good away day. You know what? No, that's not fair. It is a good away day. There's decent pubs in there. It's a good distance where you can jump in the train if you want, or you can get the supporters bus, which I'm sure we'll give a wee shout out to shortly. Well, can you actually get the train? Is your train station, was that not shut for ages and ages? Is it open again? It
must be.
So you can still get the train down. What happens, obviously, I'm Ayrshire correspondent, I can tell you that. So you can still get the train from Glasgow, and you have to get off at Prestwick Town.
Okay.
And then, so the station's still shut down because of that.
It was a fire, wasn't it?
Yeah, a fire to a listed building. I mean, it's just incredible. It wasn't a Glasgow postcode this time anyway. But so it was a fire to that old hotel that they've been trying to knock down for years. And now it's apparently completely derelict. They are having to tear it down. And it's obviously right in at the station. So what happens now is you get the decent train, like the sort of newer modern trains to Prestwick Town.
Okay.
And then you have to jump on the wee diesel train. They do like a shuttle between Prestwick and
Ayr. That's not too bad.
So you can still get the train there, but as you say, Enzo, you can still get a seat on the QP supporters bus.
Yeah,
you can still do that. The club did tweet it out the other day as well. Was it yesterday, I think? So you can still get your seat on there. It does say to make sure you guarantee your seat, it has to be booked by 5 o'clock on Wednesday. So that's Wednesday, the 20th of March this week, by 5 p.m. You can still do that at queensparkonlineshop.co.uk. But yes, if you don't manage to get a seat there for whatever reason, or you decide to take the train instead, then you can still get the train all the way through to Ayr. You're right, there's some good pubs. It is a good bit of distance away from Glasgow. That sort of really nice little sweet spot. But in terms of the actual team, so let's have a look at Ayr United themselves. So they obviously announced Scott Brown not long after we'd announced Calum Davidson. Now, he's done not too bad in his time there. Now, if you look at the form table, they're actually sitting quite close to the top, or the top half of it second place in the last five games. And if you stretch that back out over to the last 10, even the last 15 games, which that's probably a little bit too much for Scott Brown, that probably still includes some of...
Davidson did.
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks after. So even if you look at, say, the last 10 games, because that's about the same for both managers, 10 games played, 16 points scored for both Queen's Park and Ayr. Ayr actually have 5 wins in those 10 games. Queen's Park have 4. But there's quite a big difference because Queen's Park have 4 draws as well, whereas Ayr have got 4 defeats. They've got 5 wins, but 1 draw. So they are very much win or lose, and that is again shown in the last 5 games, where it's win, lose, win, lose, win. So they are very up and down. Let's hope that trend continues and another loss this weekend, eh?
Yeah. Oh,
you've got to hope so, don't you? I mean, Ayr are just... See, when you're just talking about the stadium there as well, Enzo, I think part of the reason you probably dislike it is because we always lose. We've not exactly had the best... best of times for Ayr, but... it's a tricky one, this game. For me, it feels like... a must win if we want to compete with Ayr, because they're 2 points ahead of us just now. They win this, they'll be 5 points with a game in hand. Obviously, the game in hand doesn't mean anything. Points on the table are better, all that kind of stuff. But it does kind of bridge another team away from us, which is less than ideal. Personally, I thought we did all right against Ayr the last time. They looked better Initially, we bedded into the game, scored a goal, and then Welsh unfortunately got sent off, which ultimately cost us. So I think, I mean, both teams are going to be going into this thinking they can win it, aren't they? Let's be honest. But I'm hopeful for a win. And I'm also quite looking forward to, now that I've got actual internet in my house, I think I can now access these international live streams. And I was just doing a quick check there, and Air seemed to do it. So I'll actually be able to watch the full game for once, which will be nice.
If I'm not mistaken, I've seen a few comments online by Air fans talking about how terrible the stream they do is. Like, I think it's basically just somebody filming it on a mobile phone or something like that.
Ideal.
But you know what? You might as well have a wee look and see what it's like.
Watch a couple of pixels run across the screen and then see how we go.
Go for it.
It's better than anything is better than watching the little Bet365 map that tells you when it's like attack and dangerous attack, which I've resorted to a couple of times when you can't, we can't find any streams or anything at all for games that you can't make, which is, not fun at all. I don't know if either of you guys seen this tweet, so it wasn't actually from Air, but, you know, they've also been building that new stand. There is, if you search, so I'm not going to share it or whatever, but if you search Somerset Park on Twitter, one of the top results, or in fact, I think it is actually the top result, it was from March the 16th, so that's just a couple of days ago, and it's drone images, you know, that new stand that they were building on obviously not on the main stand where the dugouts are, but across the way. And I actually really quite like that, to be perfectly honest. It's it's almost like they've done a little Lesser Hampden stand at the top, but then they've got four rows of terracing at the front as well, so they've combined the best of both worlds there. And also the fact that the seating stand is actually very much like very highly raised up as well, so it's probably a decent view as well. They've done a good job there, and I don't know, I think I'm just bringing that up because I hate Lesser Hampden so much.
No,
but
it looks nice enough, but I mean ultimately we're never going to sit in it, so I don't care.
That's true, but I think it's just worth mentioning these teams that put stands up, and I think that's in about a year as well they've done that.
It's probably, and I can't believe I'm defending Lesser Hampden, because Lesser Hampden's an absolute disgrace, but I suppose it's probably easier to renovate an existing stand than build a stadium, in inverted commas, from scratch. I don't know. I haven't got a clue. I don't work in construction. I never have, and I'm very unlikely ever to in the future either, so... I couldn't tell you.
Nah.
It looks fine, but as I say, we're never really going to have the opportunity to sit anywhere other than that horrible wee set of the old stand.
I don't know if that changes, because mine, they used to keep, or they did, especially when we were there, they kept the both ends of the goal because they would let the fans change ends. I don't know if that construction has that changed that at all, or if it's cut that corner off. So maybe it would mean if that end goal, or if they even announced actually where we'll be placed.
But they already put some away fans behind that goal, just not us.
Yeah, that's what I mean as well. Actually, have they announced that the tickets are on sale? And
yeah, they've announced that the club got a tweet out today, and I haven't checked, but I would assume, I don't see any reason why they would put us anywhere else, because that's where we've been every time the past couple of years.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
I don't think it would change. I totally agree with you though, David. It's just a bit of the old envy whenever you see a team build anything stadium related semi-competently.
Yeah, I think we're going to feel that for a wee while now. In terms of the Queen's Park squad going into this week, Cal, we'll come to you first. Who are you hoping to see? What changes are you looking to make for when you're watching your 14 pixels from the Air's rubbish stream?
Honestly, for me at this point, I don't think I'm looking to make a change. I feel like the starting 11 that we've got is the best starting 11 that we have right now. I think I'd be wanting to go with the same approach. I feel like it should be fruitful. So aye, for me, exact same starting 11, I'd be quite content with that. Obviously, I hope that Scott isn't injured, and that would, I guess, require a bit of a shuffle. I assume it would just be Bruce that would step in that instance. But if everyone's available, I'm going for the same, and stick with Sheridan and Payton up front, because it seems to be a bit more just enabling for Payton, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'd stick with the same lineup. Can I just see, just before we go on to this, by the way, I've had a look at the tickets on the website, and it says we're going to be in the West Stand. Now, I've looked up a map of Somerset Park, and I can't see any stand called the West Stand, so who knows? We'll find out when we get down there on Saturday. Don't have a clue what that actually is. agree with you. Same lineup. Just go for it, because I think Ayr are there from the beating, and I also think, you know, we were unlucky against them. It was Scott Brown's first game. Regardless of how good a manager he will turn out to be for them in the end or not, it remains to be seen. But you always get that bounce. We were kind of unlucky that it happened to be against us. We were also unlucky that the referee gave them an absolute nonsense free kick that they scored from at nothing each, and then ultimately the red card, which was not particularly smart from Welsh. But I think had he not got sent off, we would at least get a point that day. And I think we can win. I think we should be looking to win. We've got two even harder games coming up. And, you know, if we don't win in the next three games, I'm going to be really concerned, to be honest with you. I think we should just be going for it the same way we did against, you know, Dunfermline away, for example. Go for it like that, except we're probably in a better position to get goals with Sheridan there too.
Yeah, I do think, actually, I know I have to ask the question because, you know, we do it every week, but I do think that starting 11 that we went with against Raith Rovers is our best 11 at this moment in time. And again, as Callum says, you know, as long as there's no injuries, no sort of niggles or anything like that from last week, then if everybody's 100% fit, ready to go, it has to be that same starting 11. And fingers crossed, it is 3 points against Ayr United. Score predictions. Well, that'll be nice and easy because, again, last week that was a 0-0. There was no goal scorers or nothing. So just confirm it again for me, Callum. You might as well. That'll be me to go first because I'm last in the league.
It is 4-point deficit between you and I, David. You're 19, I'm on 23, and Enzo's still leading the way at 25. So honours yours.
It will be 2-0 Queen's Park. Payton first goal scorer and Sheridan second.
All right, I'm going to go for 3-1 Queens, and I'll have Sheridan first. I'll just go for the trifecta. We'll have Sheridan, Payton and Thomas.
Okay. I'm going to go 1-0 Queens.
It's very conservative for you.
I know. 1-0, and it'll be Dom Thomas.
Interesting. I'm looking back through here. I don't think you. No, you've not. You've not given a 1-0.
No.
Wait. You did. Sorry, Morton. You did a 1-0 v Morton.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No. Listen. It doesn't matter because it's regardless of what I say, it's going to be wrong. So.
Well, I hope you at least get the result right, Enzo. I will say that. Well, again, I'm not even going to bother looking at the other fixtures going on around the league because we all know how frightening it is on a Saturday watching the league table and looking at their scores. So we'll stay focused on Queen's Park beating Ayr on Saturday, and next week we'll see what that then leaves us, what position that leaves us in. So until next week, Calvin Enzo, it's been a pleasure as always. Continue to find us on Twitter at SpidersTalkPod. Continue to find us as well on Pie and Bovril and all the threads relating to Queen's Park. Thank you for coming back and listening to us again this week, and we will hopefully see you all again next week.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening. The consulate then day. Come final, league match or friendly. The consulate then day. Play for the sake of the game. Play for the sake of the game.